The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans chapter 8 in verse 1 said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Tonight I want to talk to you about some things that I believe have been a part of many of your lives for a long time and some of your lives for even just a short time. But they're wonderful things, things that I pray we might just like to hear. And I hope the lesson is a short lesson. I don't want to talk for a long time. I just want to make a few very clear points. As we think about it, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 2 and 3, the Apostle Paul writes, "We once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." You know, that's exactly what I was. And anybody who's outside of the body of Christ, even though that may sound a little harsh when you think about yourself and you look in the mirror, it's exactly what we are. When we're outside of Christ, we walk according to the course of this world. That means that the steps that we take are based upon our own thoughts, our own feelings about something that we were taught as a youngster, something that we're influenced with by television, radio, books, schools. But we walked in the course of this world. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And then when somebody is baptized and there's a change. But the sad part is that oftentimes when a person does obey the gospel, they come up out of that water and maybe they're thinking that there should be some excitement, some spiritual awakening, and their body should shake, and it doesn't. And so they think, well, what? Maybe it didn't work, but it worked. Because when I think about this, what happened at that point in time, you were saved. You were made free, as Jesus said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth shall make you free." You obeyed the truth, and you were saved. Maybe you didn't have some phenomenal feeling at that time, and maybe you did feel good, but you were saved. And there's just no way of denying that. You were saved because of the promises of God and because of the commandments that Jesus gave, that when we obey Him, we become His friend. When we obey Him, we become part of His body. When we obey Him, we're saved. You know, Ephesians 2 and 12, we were once without Christ. We were once without God in this world. And now, Ephesians chapter 2, 10 and verse 13, we are now in Christ. And without and being in Christ means that we're there with all the blessings that come along with being in Christ. And you know, being in something has been God's plan ever since the very beginning. Think about Noah and the ark. They were in something, weren't they? God told Noah, build an ark. Noah built an ark by faith. Took him a long time to do it, but he built it. And then when they got in there, God closed the door. And they were in safety. They were in that ark. In Exodus chapter 12, death was coming. And God told the people of Israel through Moses to kill a lamb and put the blood on the mantle and on the doorposts. And then you go inside that house and you stay there till morning. And those who did that were alive in the morning. They were in that house being protected by God because they kept God's commandment. In the book of Numbers in chapter 35, if you'll remember, there was a place called a city of refuge. There were cities. People could go into that city and find refuge. What about Acts 27 when the Apostle Paul was on that ship and those people wanted to jump off the ship? They thought they could jump off the ship and be saved, but God told Paul, if anybody jumps off that ship, they're going to die. They all had to stay on that ship. They were in the ship. They were protected. Of course, that makes me think of Jonah, too. He threw him off the ship. Where was he? In the belly of a fish. Giving him time to think. But now, you're in Christ. Because you obeyed the gospel, because you love the Lord more than yourself, in Ephesians 1 and 3, we're in Christ, where all the spiritual blessings are. Colossians 2:13, we've been forgiven our trespasses. 1 Peter 1:18, we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. That's exactly who you are if you've obeyed the gospel of Christ. And listen, when I was thinking about this message tonight, I was really, really honestly thinking about you. I really was. Because on Sunday nights, you're here. Sunday mornings, you're here. On Wednesdays, you're here. And I think it's a good thing for us to be thinking about the changes that have been made in our lives, even though we don't often think too much about it. But the bottom line is, when we think about these things, we realize that you're not who you were. And I want you to hold on to that. We're just going to go through a few words. This isn't a complicated lesson. But I want you to know that you are not who you were. Being God's children has taken you down a different direction. You no longer live the rest of your time in this world in the flesh, Peter said, seeking after the lusts of men, but now you're seeking the will of God. Why are you here tonight? Because you're a saved individual in the body of Christ, or because you're thinking about this? You know, I'm encouraged by the saints here, the brothers and the sisters here. I'm encouraged by your love. I am. I'm encouraged by your faith that you wear, like the Philemon this morning when we talked about him and how his faith could be seen. You guys are like Philemon. Do you know what Philemon means, by the way? I haven't mentioned that yet in the sermon, but it means to kiss in love. Pretty cool, huh? And that's exactly what you're doing. You're kissing your love towards God and towards all the saints and the brethren when you support your commitment, your caring, all of those things. And it moves me to be thinking about all the things that you were not, because you're not who you used to be. So just for the next few moments, I want to share a few words. Simple words that I feel describe all of you who have obeyed the gospel of Christ. And you're now here in this place, in the presence of the Almighty God, to honor Him, to bring Him glory. The first word that comes to mind when I think of this kind of a thing is that you're alive. That's what I think about. You're alive. Every one of you. You might feel tired. Brother Dorian here, our newest brother, he told me tonight, well, I'm tired. But you're alive. Not alive just in the flesh here. We're talking about alive spiritually. You've been given the seal of the Holy Spirit of God. You're alive. Yes, you were once dead in your trespasses and sins, but Jesus made you alive. He's made you alive together, having forgiven your trespasses. In God and Christ, you're alive. Romans chapter 6, verse 11, it very clearly states that. Romans 6 and 4, you were alive to the world, and then you died to sin, and then you were buried with Christ in baptism. And when you came up out of that water, you were new, alive, a new creature, to walk in newness of life. Alive means that you have hope. You have hope. Hope for eternity. Hope for the coming of Christ. Hope for the end of things now as we know them. Hope to be in heaven one day with God, to see the face of God, your Creator, your Father in heaven, to be able to see Him, and to have all the tears that were ever in your eyes wiped away. You're alive for that. All of you who have obeyed the gospel, these things are yours. Not only hope, but you're no longer controlled by sin because you're alive to Christ. You have understanding that the rest of the world doesn't have. There are people, good-hearted people, stubborn people, confused people, that just can't get this. That it has nothing to do with this physical world. We want to be alive in Christ, knowing spiritually we will live in eternity with God. If you don't obey the gospel, that's not yours. But if you have obeyed the gospel, you're alive. No worries. Matthew 6:33, God will take care of you. Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and these things will be added to you. God will take care of you if you do those things. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon Him. He cares for you. You're alive in Christ, and God knows it, and He's glorified, and you need to be uplifted by that. You're alive. Also, I want you to think about this. You're loved. I love you. And I'm not ashamed to tell you that. And I think, Lord willing, you all love me. But you're loved by God. You know, we were once the children of with a nature of wrath, Ephesians 2 and 3. But now you are the object of God's great love, Ephesians 2 verse 4. He had such great love for you. He's talking to the church when he said that. Yes, God so loved the world. Yes, Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. But God loves you, the church. Every time you honor Him by preaching the message or by sharing the light of Christ in you, by coming and worshiping together like this when so many people forsake the assembly, God loves you, and you're honoring God through that love. And you know, it was Him who washed us. He loved us, and He washed us from our sins in His own blood. Revelation 1:5. He loves you. He loves you. He didn't do that because He was told He had to do it. He could have called legions of angels and He could have destroyed this whole world instead of facing the cross, but He loved you and He still does. And you're alive in Him and He loves you. Turn to Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15 and 16. You want to think about God's love, and it's just amazing. There's so many things that we could read. But I want to look at Isaiah 49 in verses 15 and 16. If you don't have your Bible, there's one in front of you, and if not, it's on the screen. Can a woman forget her nursing child You know why he says that? Because a woman doesn't forget her nursing child. That child is precious to her. You couldn't rip that child from her arms. You'd have to rip her arms off to get it away from her. She loves that child. God loves you. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget. And listen, that's God. He says, I will not forget. See? Are you looking at that? See? God says, see? I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. You know, in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and in verse 3, Paul calls the fellow workers, he calls them people who have their names written in the book of life. I count you all as fellow workers. Your name is written in the book of life. When you obeyed the gospel and you come here week after week, month after month, year after year, and you suffer me as a preacher and you just build me up when I need it, God has you written on the palm of it. I think about the book of life, and I know it's not a physical book. It's spiritual. And God's a spirit. I don't know that he has hands physical, but you're on his hands in one form or another. Is that the book of life? In Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, the saved are the ones whose names are in the book of life. You're written on the very hand of God. He can't forget you, right? And he never will. I think he looks at his hands day and night, and he thinks about all his saints, and he loves them. He loves them with a love that's beyond our capability of understanding. You know, because he's the one who knows you better than yourself. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows your coming and going. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. He says, if you got something to say, go in a closet, close the door, and you say it in secret. And he who hears in secret knows exactly what you're saying. He knows you. He holds each of his precious creations in the very palm of his hand. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And when we come into those difficult times, God is there. He doesn't leave us to our own. You think of the love of a father and a mother towards their child that we just read about here, a woman. She doesn't forget their children. Although on earth, people can do that, but God will never forget you. He's put your name right on his hand. Because of the tremendous gift of God, the gift of love God has given us. We can obtain mercy. We can find grace to help us in any time of need. You know, in Romans, we read Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Listen, 31, then we shall say to thee, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Your name is on his hand. Who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. Furthermore, it is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Romans 8, 31, now I'm on verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Your name is on his hand. What's going to do it? Tribulation? No, because God is there. Distress? No, because God is there with you. Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? No. No. It is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels or principalities, nor powers or present or things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, because your name is on his hand. If you've obeyed him, if you're part of his church, we can come boldly to the throne of grace, the Hebrew writer 4:16 said. We can obtain mercy, find that grace. And every time we go to that throne, every time that we need something, you can go to that throne and you can know that he is there because he loves you and he's got your name on his hand. Another thing that you are is you're reconciled. There's no doubt that we were once afar off. That's what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 3. We were once afar off, outside of Christ. And listen, afar off is a spiritual realm. We're not talking about, well, Jesus is in California right now and I'm in Ohio. Jesus is standing right next to you, spiritually speaking. If you've not obeyed Christ, you don't have to go very far to find him. And if you have obeyed Christ, you can find great consolation, great comfort in the fact that you've been reconciled. We praise God, dear brothers and sisters, that we who love the Lord and his word have been brought nigh by the blood of Christ. Close. We can praise God together. Right now, the Father and the Son, we can praise him because we're reconciled. He's done that, reconciled us unto himself. He's made us to be together in one body. And he did that through the cross. And he's slain the enemy that we have, the enmity. And he brought us together in peace, Ephesians 2 and 16. He cares for you. He loves you. He's got your name on his hand. And he's reconciled you through Christ and his blood. We're filled with everlasting joy. Joy that comes from God, not from this world. Because God, by the death of his Son, and so much more, being reconciled with him, we shall be saved from the wrath to come through him. Romans chapter 5 and in verse 10. That's what you are if you've obeyed the gospel. When I think of all the great things that God has done, and I remember that he made you more than just a people, you should find great solace in that and great comfort in that. In fact, zeal and excitement in the fact that he made you more than you were. He made you fellow citizens with all the saints. Together, we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. We're members of the household of God, Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 19. When we come into this place, we're citizens together. We have a kingdom that we're a part of. It's not just a place. It's a kingdom, and a kingdom has a king. And it has rules right here. And when you obey Christ, you become a part of that kingdom. Your name is on his hand, and he loves you, and he reconciles you, and he makes you part of that citizen, a citizen in that kingdom that's one day going to go up into heaven. And we praise God and pray that that will happen, yeah, very quick. You're a citizen. We are, by God's grace, by his mercy, and by his love, delivered from the powers of darkness. He conveyed us, or translated us, the old King James, into the kingdom of the Son of his love, Colossians 1 and 13. That's what Jesus did. That's what you are. You obeyed the gospel of Christ, He put you in the kingdom. He put your name on the hand, and He loves you, and He's made you alive. Together, we're fellow citizens, saints in the household of God. And you know what? When you think about that, that truly means that you're blessed. And you should feel that all the time. Paul wrote, blessed because our lawless deeds are forgiven. Blessed because our sins are covered. Blessed because the Lord shall not impute sins against us. Romans chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8. Blessed. We are blessed with all the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. He has chosen us before the foundation of the world. That's the blessing. Ephesians 1 and 4. He predestined us to be for the adoption of sons, the inheritance in heaven, the riches of His glory. You think about that. Being in the presence of God, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5 and 11. Ephesians 1, 6, He made us accepted in the Beloved. When we put on Christ, the Father sees His loveliness, and He looks at us through that blood, and He sees us as lovely, as children. We stand before the Father perfect because of the blood of Christ. Not because of us, not because of our righteousness, but because of His righteousness. We become the children of God, redeemed through the blood. Ephesians 1, verse 6 and 7. 8 and 10 in Ephesians, we have been glorified, gifted rather, to know the mystery of His will. Sealed with the Holy Spirit, verse 13. Another thing that I thought of is that you're new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, Paul said. The old things, they passed away. Behold, all things become new. Your name's written on His palm. You're alive. He loves you beyond imagination. You're reconciled with Him. You're citizens in His kingdom. You're blessed beyond imagination. And you're new. You're new. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. A new creature. Together as Christians, the family of God. I told my wife and somebody else the other day that every time I sing that song, and I know it's not in our hymnal, but I wish it was. I'm so glad I belong to the family of God. Washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. You're new. You're able to love like God has loved us. You're able to forgive like God has forgiven us. Able then to live in peace that surpasses all understanding. You're new. Finally, you're washed. You're sanctified. And you're justified. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. We are not who we once were. Because now we're believers. We're called Christians. We're members of the household of God. We are disciples of the great God and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. We are the saints in Christ, and we make a difference. And in all of that, we ask the question, what did make the difference? What made me alive? What made me love? What made me reconcile? What made me a citizen? What made me blessed? What makes me new? What washed me, sanctified me, and justified me? What is it that's done that? Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. All these things are you, because you're not who you were. We need to live up to those things. We need to accept those things. You're not who you were. If you've not been baptized into Christ, you still are who you were, and you'll be that way for the rest of your physical life. Not your mortal life, your physical life. Well, your mortal life, not your immortal. Because you have an immortal soul that one day will leave this world and spend eternity separated from the God who made you alive, from the God who loves you, from the God who reconciled all those who have come to Him, for the God who makes them citizens and blessed and new, washed, sanctified, and justified. And you can have every one of these words and so much more applied to your life. You can have your name written on the palm of God if you would just simply obey Him. We have to be thankful that God saw fit to save us. He did that out of His love. He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of Christ, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 4. Will you do that tonight? Will you do that? Come forward and sit in this front pew while we stand and sing the song of invitation, 478.